Welcome to the dsmith.org podcast for Tuesday, August 1st, 2006, a measurement technique for locating EMI hot areas on boards or systems. I'm Doug Smith. One of the most useful things an engineer or technician can have is a toolbox of troubleshooting tools that you can use in the lab and the kind of work that you do. And for most of us, the work generally involves systems or circuit boards. And one of the problems you can have is you can have what I would call hot areas on the ground or even the enclosure of some systems where there's noise there, and if a conductor is attached there, you can radiate noise off that conductor. For instance, an RS-232 cable connection, if the local ground reference for that is hot, then that cable will radiate. Well, how can I do a quick check for that? Board's laying there on the bench, or maybe it's in a system, but the whole thing's on the bench. Not everything is hooked up. Not all features are active necessarily. Well, my technical tidbit on my website this month describes just such a gadget. It's based on an early design, actually an early idea that I saw from Henry Ott many years ago in one of his demonstrations, where he took a 1 meter long wire with a current probe around near the bottom of it and was touching it to different parts of a system to see what could drive enough current into that wire to cause a radiation problem. And then that, when you get a spot like that, that means that area is hot. And any wire or other piece of metal attached there might do the same thing. So we can go around, probe, and look for hot spots in ground. Well, these days, frequencies are higher and systems are smaller. And a 1 meter wire with a current probe at the bottom generally isn't going to fit in a lot of places. Generally, you hold the current probe with one hand on the wire and the other. So what I have in my article is a very interesting thing. It's take a shorter piece of wire, which would tend to correspond to this higher frequencies in today's systems. Of course, if you have 30 megahertz, you're probably going to have to use something a little longer, like a meter. But if you're talking about 100 megahertz and above, you want to pick a wire that's appropriate for that length. In general, we might know what kind of frequencies we're looking for, and so if you could pick a wire that's a quarter wavelength in the middle of a band that you're looking for. So for something around 150, 200 megahertz might be like 30 centimeters a foot. But instead of a current probe, I'll take this stiff piece of wire about a foot long, and I'll put just a square loop at the bottom of it. In fact, I'll tape the loop to the wire, and now the loop makes a nice handle for it. And then I'll take the end of the wire sticking out past the loop, which is shown in my article, and I'll just touch it to different spots on the ground of a circuit board, especially ground pins of connectors and things. And if I see an area where I can drive a lot of current into that wire, then I might want to pay attention to that area and see if there might be an EMC problem. I'm really using the loop as a current probe in this case, and on my website article there's lots of details, and if you really want to get into the calculations there. But to make a long story short, a 1-inch square loop made out of nominal size wire, 16 gauge or a little in general range, maybe a little narrower, made into a 1-inch square loop will give a nice flat frequency response as a current probe when held next to that wire, from about 100 megahertz to a gigahertz, and its sensitivity is very similar to my F33-1 Fisher probe, current probe, which is a very popular probe for measuring common mode currents. Not really calibrated, because we don't have an iron core and we don't know the exact spacing, but for thin insulation and nominal size wires, it's on the order of the same 5-ohm transfer impedance, which means I might draw a line along the spectrum analyzer somewhere around 3840 dB microvolts, and if I'm much over that, I begin to worry that that's a hot spot. So we can calibrate things a little bit, not nearly as accurately as a current probe, but we can get some reading on whether this is a really bad area or not. So if you want more details and like a few equations or something, you can look at my article, and that references some of the other articles and papers on my website. And if you want to get into all the deep, gory detail, it'll probably take you an hour or so to read all that. But you probably don't need to. Just look at the technical tidbit, or just listening to this probably is enough to do most of it. The one more note about the loop. Shielded loops like the MC people use would be good, although you really want a square one that will fasten against the wire with maybe a tape of some kind. But what I find is most of the time it's hard to tell the difference between just a square wire loop and a shielded loop. So most of the time I just use a wire loop because that's what's around when I'm trying to do this. And I'm generally trying to do this because I'm trying to find a noise spot. And I may not realize I was going to be doing that, so I necessarily don't have all the other articles around I might need. But in this case, all we need is a little wire loop, maybe an inch square. A piece of wire, 6, 12 inches, maybe 18 inches, depending on the frequencies I'm looking for. And an inexpensive spectrum analyzer is all that's necessary. And you can troubleshoot noisy grounds and so forth this way. Well, thanks for listening. And please send me suggestions for topics or just about the podcast in general to Doug at dsmith.org. Again, thanks for listening.